Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
Yeah.
Okay, let's fade us in, bro. Come on, bring us in.
Yes.
And we're live.
Okay.
Hey, hey.
What's up, y'all? My name is Christian. This is the Most High Show. And today we're kicking it in the evening time.
Nighttime.
My man David is with us.
What's up, y'all?
My man Andrew is with us.
What up?
And just really, really grateful to be able to be here and do this.
Yes.
We're the Bun Brothers. My buns, not quite as...
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming, man.
Yeah, I might have to switch to the hat, though.
I just have no hair, so...
It's all right, man.
I just have a hat on, that's why.
Man, guys, it is so good to be here in this seat right now, rapping with my bros, man. It means a ton to me. I feel like I haven't even seen you guys in such a long time, man. Thank you for having me. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's see. How does everything sound? How's everything sound out there on the Facebook world? Oh, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm liking that.
Yeah. So tonight, today was a great day. And I read, I get this email called the Daily Ponderables.
Okay. It's a big word.
Ponderables.
Ponderables. Yeah. You're pondering.
Yeah.
All right.
So I get this daily ponderable, and it's really great because in it comes daily reflection, 24 hours a day. It's got the NA just for today, the thought of the day. It's got some Native American stuff, Zen Buddhist thought. I mean, it's just got a lot of really good stuff in it. And
a lot of devotionals.
Yeah. And right. So what's his name? Stephen Todd? Stephen Todd is the name of the guy who sends it. So I don't know who he is, if anyone knows who he is. Someone forwarded me the email and I registered.
Oh, okay. Cool.
But always on time.
Amen.
Every morning, 5:30. And this is a labor, like to put this email together.
Yeah.
Every day, right?
Where do you even have the time to put all those perspectives in? One thing.
It's service.
That's crazy.
It's service.
Hey, man, that's crazy.
Yeah. And so today, I thought this thought of the day is something pretty meaty and something for us to chew on.
All right.
So can I get a little more in my headphones? I think I'm channel 2 over there.
All right. Channel 2. Channel 2.
Yeah, that's a little bit better.
Sound better now?
Okay, so... 24 hours a day, this is the thought of the day. Disillusionment and spiritual confusion mark our age. Many of us have cast aside old ideals without acquiring new ones. Stop right there. Just right there. How many people that I know have... And not even in recovery related, but in religion, in religious circles.
Okay.
Right? Have thrown away, have cast aside old ideals because they didn't add up anymore.
But nowhere to go.
Without acquiring new ones. And so they drift.
Right.
Right? This is that person, mm-hmm. that drifting spiritual being. That person is somebody who is near and dear to my heart because I've been that person. All right. Many men and women are creeping through life on their hands and knees merely because they refuse to rely on any power but themselves. Many of them feel that they are being brave and independent, but actually they are only courting disaster. Anxiety Wow. and the inferiority complex have become the greatest of all modern plagues. We have the answer to these. Have I ceased to rely on myself only? Now, there's more, but we're going to stop right there.
All right.
One thought that I thought to kick it off is when I was relying on myself only, and that's not to say I don't still can do that. I got what I wanted. I got exactly what I wanted.
What do you mean? Whenever you were relying on yourself?
When I relied on myself.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
I got what I wanted.
Okay.
It's just that what I wanted only served me. And it was at the cost of everybody else.
Yep.
Right? What's happened, what's changed is the standard in which I view a good day.
Okay.
Because back in the day, a good day was the right amount of drugs.
Yep.
The right amount of alcohol.
Yep.
The right hotel room with the right people. And that was success.
Okay.
Right? So
yeah,
many men and women creeping along life on their hands and knees. Right. I didn't, to me, during that time in my life, I didn't know I was on my hands and knees. I actually thought.
You was a mission accomplished.
Yeah. I thought I was doing the daggone thing.
Right.
Oh, this is life.
Yeah.
I was completely controlled by substances, and every action and decision I made every day was based on how and when I would get those substances.
Oh, yeah. And if it worked out, you thought it was a great accomplishment.
Yeah.
But we never really knew that we were being controlled by substances, right? Until I got sober, then I was like, oh, yeah, I was being controlled by substances. I thought I was free.
Right.
I thought I was free to be able to do whatever I wanted.
Sorry, I'm like touching your mixer now.
Yeah, you can sit here if you want.
That's my bad. That's me. Me.
Controlling things.
Uh-huh. I just had to crank those mics up a little bit. That's my bad.
No, that sounds good.
Yeah. So we didn't know we were being controlled, and we actually thought, oh, this is working out great.
Right.
I mean, can you recall a day when you were out there? All right.
Right.
Because I know that your journey, you know, I had a pretty easy end of the road for me.
Okay.
A lot of my pain was internal pain and suffering. It was internal hell.
Right.
Right. You actually like went through hell, literally.
Yeah.
So, but before that, what was a successful day for you, David, when you were like, yeah, this is what I'm looking for?
You're talking about inactive addiction, right?
Inactive addiction.
Well, I knew my way of thinking was so closed that there was nothing else to choose from in my life. I felt like, you know, going out to the park and like playing with my kids, or, you know, having a heart to heart with my mom, hanging out with loved ones, all that stuff was gone. You know, I didn't, at least in my head, I thought they were gone. Because I felt the only choice I had was to score. I had to grab, and I had to use, or I physically, mentally, emotionally could not even face the day. So it was definitely mission accomplished if I was able to get high.
Yeah.
Because if I wasn't high, not only do I have to face like the withdrawal from the narcotics that I was taking, I would have to face like all the screw ups I've made in my life and all the people that I've actually hurt through my selfish thinking, you know.
Now, when you used, did you go and hide and just, or did you use and try to pretend like, you know, everything's cool and go back around fam and try and live that life?
I think there's like steps to that too. There was like times where, for example, right? My brother and my mother and I all worked in the same place at one time. When I relapsed one time. So I was clean and then I relapsed in there. And for a while, I could function in that environment until my mom actually caught me while working, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I go through all that. I make it to work maybe the next day after. I think the day or the 2 days after, my little brother comes up to me and he's like, you know, what are you doing? You know, because this is when I was trying to make a comeback, you know what I mean? So there was a time where I could try to function
right.
while being high, you know what I mean? But yeah. eventually it goes to where I have to be in isolation no matter what I'm doing because I'm in my addiction. I'm usually running from the law and people want to know what's going on with yeah. me. And when they see me, it's like total, you
right.
know.
You sweating, chewing right. on your jaw. This ain't a good look.
All that.
Right.
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 All that stuff.
What about for you, Andrew? What was like?
I mean, I was around my family.
Yeah.
I was around my family when I was getting messed up. It was, I don't know, it was kind of weird because, like, there was times where me and my dad would drink together.
Yeah.
You know, so it was, like, acceptable, but a lot of times when I was blackout drunk, I would be fighting with my family.
Yeah.
Or fighting whoever I was around.
Not even knowing it.
And not even knowing it. I'd wake up the next day and, like, you know, everybody would be mad at me or, like, people would be like, yo, you did this. And I'd be like, I don't want to know about it.
Right.
You know, because I felt ashamed. And one of the reasons why I kept drinking was because of how ashamed I was the day before.
Right.
About the night before.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't like, but again, I didn't realize it. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize, like, I realized, like, part of me realized that it was like I had to stop, but I just couldn't.
Right.
You know, it just had that grip, that grasp on me.
Yeah.
But what about you? Now, did you have, you had to hide, right, for the most part?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it depended on what I was on.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
I had different concoctions, mm-hmm. different things that I would.
Some things were acceptable, some things weren't.
Right. The way you Depending were. On what I took, I could take a certain thing.
Yeah.
And be with the family.
And be cool.
And be cool.
Function kinda.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And be like, you know, why are you so happy? Right.
I love this side of you, Christian.
Right. Right. But then other things, you know, now when you get near to the end of the road,
yeah,
then it's all in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember a heartbreaking moment in rehab. The counselor said, who do you spend your most time with? Family, friends, or alone? Man, I answered alone. That was a breakthrough for me. That was the first time I cried, probably. And
that just made me, like, for real, kind of emotional. Just
dude, it hit me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a breakthrough. It was like,
that's real.
Oh my God! And you know, I had this very vivid visual. I'm a visual person, so when I think of things, I see things right in my
right.
in my mind. So, because I'm like brilliant, because I'm like freaking Rain.
You all create. You're an artist and all that.
Nah, but so I had this visual, man. And we used to live in this house right around the corner from here, and we had a little basement. And the visual. Ooh, I'm not gonna try to get emotional. I'm not doing it. I'm down in the basement.
Come on, work
getting
it out.
High.
Yes.
And my wife's alone, upstairs, watching TV by herself. And I had this realization of the pain I was putting her through. Bam. Like, whoa, snap.
That's yeah. real.
Yeah. That was real. But up to that point, I was in this delusion.
Yeah.
I thought that, yeah.
Yeah.
Now here's something else when you were saying that I was kind of thinking about was like physically, I was usually with people, but like mentally,
right.
I was always alone.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, no matter how many people I was around, like I wasn't honest with other people. You know, I wasn't honest with myself. You know, some of the things I did, I'd never told anybody about.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, no matter where I was, no matter who I was talking to, no matter who I was with, I was still alone.
Right.
Even though I was physically around people.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of like, you know, and I'm sure both of you guys have experiences like that.
Yeah. I was just talking about that today. I was kind of telling guys, like, where I was at different times of my addiction and how I was trying to think my way into a functional addiction, right?
Yeah.
Where I could like live life and still use, you know, and I was thinking of ways to do it. And I remember moving, right? Because I didn't know like When I was when I first started getting high, right, and I using heroin and cocaine, like that was like when it got really serious with mm-hmm. me. The way that I was using it, or the way the people around me that in my town were using it, it was kind of like this person goes and grabs a whole bunch of stuff. They come here, they drop it off, we go use, and then we wait for the next bag run, to come, right. The next run, right?
Yeah.
But when I started going back and forth to different cities, like watching what's going on around me, I'm seeing these people like with their like hard hats and their like, you know, UPS jackets. I'm watching these guys like almost in line at the grocery store, all waiting to grab their morning, their wake up, or getting their stuff after work, you know, parking their cars. And I was like, man, these guys are like everyday dudes doing something that I think is so hardcore. But yeah. They're living their life this way.
Right.
I moved there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I picked up and went there to see if I could do it, you know?
Right.
And I was always around people. At that time, I was kind of like in this, I don't know, a whole different new place where I was around people. But, you know, it's sooner or later, it's zombie town. Well,
yeah. It had to be the environment, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was very much a functioning addict, right? Yeah. As oxymoronic as that title is,
right?
You know, but that's how I held it down. I thought that, you know, the bills are paid, and I remember saying this, like, the bills are paid, the car notes are paid,
right?
What you complaining for, right? Like, this is what I'm gonna do. And so I was crawling on my hands, and I just didn't know it, right?
Right.
And I was relying on myself, at least in my head. I was disillusioned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because really I was relying on the substance. Right?
Right.
So it goes on to say, because this concept of not just relying on yourself, of what it's getting at is a higher power.
Right.
And my home, Brian Neal, what's up? What's up, man? But what do we have here? This is one of my boys from back in Baketown. We used to run together.
Okay.
Good dude, man. Good to see you on here, man. So here goes to continue the meditation for the day. All right. This stuff's all out here, man. Just 24 hours a day. This is the title of this devotional. Every day is a new devotional. So delusionment and doubt spoil life. The doubting ones are the delusion ones. Mm. When you doubt, you're on the fence. You're not going anywhere. Doubt poisons all actions.
Wow.
That's pretty good. Somehow, these two things connect. I don't know how. Right?
Yeah.
What I want to say is, like, in recovery, I deal with doubt. Today, I dealt with doubt. Like, okay. Every day. Every day, I do something that scares me. Every day, I think this is kind of like, what am I doing? Every day. And which I think is a good thing, because that means I'm pushing. I'm not settling.
Right.
I'm pushing.
You're not letting the doubt lead you to a bad decision. You're facing your doubt. Is that what you're saying?
Well, so look, a couple levels of it.
Okay.
Number one is I'm making a decision. So we just got back from Mississippi.
Right.
Sunday morning, I'm on the phone with James. We're talking, and I go, what would it be like for you to get off work? And he's like, well, you know, it'd have to be early in the week. Okay. And then I text Jared, what are you doing this week? And he's like, what's up? Nothing. You know?
Yeah.
And so instantly the decision gets made, but then the doubts come in. Wow, should I leave? We really got to, like I'm going to leave for another couple days. And then I was like, well, I'll take my son. That really was a good, to spend time with him.
That was a great choice. I saw him in the back seat there. That was really cool.
Oh, yeah. And so, but the doubt there, if I would have waited and just, well, I don't know, and not made the decision to just take action and put the batteries on the chargers, right?
Right.
Then Monday comes, and my indecision has made a decision for me and I don't go.
Right.
And whatever magic happens, whatever adventure ensues after, what doesn't happen.
So what pushes you over the hump? You face the doubt and then you said, I'm going forward.
Yeah. Well, and then I have evidence. Yeah. But every time I face the doubt, right, every time I go, something amazing happens. So
I have an issue. I have problems with that, man. I think I stop myself because of that doubt. I'll have something that I think is like a great idea.
Like what? Just give us one.
Come on, man, you put me on the spot.
I'm putting you on the spot.
Well, if you have so many of them, it should be fine, right?
Well, let me put it this way. If I don't, and I think a lot of it might be like my life situation maybe, but I can't be impulsive. I can't be an impulsive thinker, even if I think it's a good idea. There's like a lot of planning that I've got. And there's like people I got to get it past, you know, all my ideas. So,
right.
But a lot of times I'll be like, nah, you know, I'm not going to do it this time, you know, or like, you know, I wanted to go see my kid 100 times when my son was born. And I had that feeling where I could try to make it happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't even push forward with it because I knew it was going to affect my unit, man, my team. Right. You know what I mean? So,
right. You
know, I would fall back and be like, let me wait till it's the right time.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and eventually it worked out. I got there. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm thinking of something. I'm not trying to put you on front street.
No, go ahead, man. I'm ready.
Like you were in a situation where you were looking at two opportunities.
Yes.
To do something that you have been training to do.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you were like, but I'm gonna keep my foot back here.
1 foot in.
Just in case.
Yeah, now that was a very
That was scary. To God's glory.
Right.
You got laid off. And you were like, well, now I guess I got to do this.
Yeah, because I was trying my best to do it all at the same time.
Right.
And what happened in that whole, even with my best intentions and my best thoughts of moving forward and the most, you know, understanding, supportive people around me, you know, which is like my family and my wife, I'm all over the place, man. I'm running back and forth and I'm way away. I'm like miles away from home right now. You know what I mean? And I would do these things and I guess I felt like I was running it by, but I was really making these decisions impulsively and I was trying to do everything at the same time. And I was neglecting the ones I loved, and that was weighing on my heart, but I kept doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I kept doing it.
Disillusionment and doubt.
I don't know if that falls into
spoil life.
I don't know if that falls into what we're talking about at all.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's what about for you, Andrew? Like how does this apply for you, this doubting and indecision?
Well, let's talk about what doubt really is for a second, right?
Okay.
Okay.
All the doubt is fear.
Mm.
You know, like you doubt something because you're scared it's not going to work.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And we talk about fear a lot, especially recently. We've talked about fear a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I put up something on the story on Instagram the other day when I was driving in the North Georgia mountains and it started raining and I was scared that I was going to crash my car. Right.
Right.
But then I started looking around and you always tell me like, be like a tree. Mm. Right.
Right.
Because trees go through anything and they're still standing.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, except maybe in storms.
Except when they don't.
Except maybe
on your
storms.
Head.
And when it's raining and it's storming, you know, maybe they don't. But what does that tree need to grow? It needs water.
Mm-hmm.
And rain is water.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm scared of these things. I'm doubting these things. In reality, no matter what I do, whether I go through with it or not, it's still going to push me to grow because it's a lesson that I've learned.
Right.
In the long run. Now, going through with it is always the best option. Whenever you doubt something, I say just go ahead and do it. Whenever you're scared with something.
That's a big one right there.
Whenever you're scared of something, go through with it.
Yeah.
Not necessarily doubt. Now that I'm starting to see when as I'm talking, there's kind
they are
two different things.
There's two different things. And you know what? Real quick, I'm thinking about what we're saying here, right? And I'm seeing two totally different like avenues of relying on your higher power.
Okay? Right.
Because there's an avenue that, you know, how you got through the doubt to get yourself to Mississippi and do this super cool thing, right? That all it's supportive of your ministry and you made it happen. And it's awesome for the Most High Show. Awesome get together, right? Awesomeness. I love that, right? And then I think about myself and how when I get in those positions where I maybe being spontaneous, maybe, right, is the word. Yeah. Am I relying on my higher power in those situations?
That's key. That's key. And I'm glad you brought that up because it does circle it back to the first paragraph, right? Because I think that's the underlining thought of why we're going somewhere next week.
Right.
While we went. Yeah. The underlining thought is, you know, I don't want to sound religious, but it's like, you know, God's not safe.
Mm.
Right? God is good. God ain't necessarily
He ain't a big safe. Pillow all the time.
He ain't a big pillow. Right?
Right.
And that I'm to have life and life to the fullest.
Right.
And were I to stay here, yeah, I could probably do some good, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But to me, this is living life to the fullest. Here's this story. I can see it. I know it's happening. I know it's there. And we need to grab it. We need to capture it.
Wow.
And so it is. I think that's the underlying thought. It's in you know, I'm using religious terms here, but it's following God.
Yeah.
Right? It's like... It's getting in the road, taking that trip. I mean, and it's not that radical. I mean, it's 6 hours out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Andrew's here at the office holding it down.
It's not like you just left without saying nothing.
No, right. Or that the resources aren't available.
Right.
Right. It's we have the things in place. What Kirk says, and I really like how he breaks something like this down, which is you can always kind of fix a bad decision.
Your higher power definitely can.
Right. But an indecision might be a mess that's too big for you.
Mm.
But if you look at a situation and you're posed with a decision and you don't make a decision.
Right.
Right. This is what it's saying. Disillusionment and doubt spoil your life. Mm-hmm. You don't do anything. You're just going, well.
Right. You're stuck.
But that is a decision.
But it's a subconscious. That's the same thing as like trying to get like. It's just the same thing as me blowing dope with everybody down in the hood, and going, man, I really need to get sober.
But not doing anything about it.
Right.
Yeah.
I know the decisions that need to be made, but I'm not willing to make those decisions.
Yeah.
And so I stay in this disillusionment, and self doubt.
Well, you know what? What I'm thinking about while you guys are talking is. You know, whether it's something that might seem spontaneous or it's well planned out, I think what's critically important in this situation is your active relationship with God.
Right.
How is He with you in your steps?
Right.
Can you do something without having to like fall way back and really think about it and you know, is he, you know, he's with you all the time, right? It's your higher power, right?
Right.
Are you listening?
Right.
Is it an opportunity?
Right.
Do you feel moved? Can you decipher? Which is really hard to do, man, at times, right?
Right.
It's really hard to do. So it's.
And if you're only relying on yourself.
Right.
Right. Like what you're, and I like what you're saying because, I think it's in reliance in God is why I make the decisions to go do these things. Because
I feel that.
I feel like
I
there
believe
is
that.
There is.
Absolutely.
It's the mission. It's the ministry.
Right.
It's what I'm doing right now.
Right.
Real
quick, just to, you know, I mean, you know, I am able to see you from sort of like a distance. You know what I mean? I'm able to what do they call that? See the forest from the trees.
Yeah.
And I see you and how you're moving right now. And it's like, and just from one brother to another, and I mean this with all sincerity, that you're moving, in my humble opinion, totally forward in your actions, in your words, everything that's going on with Most High right now. You know what I mean? I mean, from the time that I walk in and did my first podcast with you guys to now, I mean, it's all forward progress with this ministry, man.
Right.
From seminary to moving forward, your thought process, that your action steps behind that.
Yeah.
It's all
moving
right.
And a lot of that's getting becoming ordained and asking myself the question, what's mine to do?
Right.
And then I'm seeing these are people that I'm connecting with through Zoom and through our meetings, our NEA meetings. And I just see the story and I go, well, I mean, this, I know how to do it. We got everything. What else?
Blows my mind, by the way. Right. Blows my mind that, like, you know, for the guys, if you guys aren't listening and you need a meeting, Monday, Wednesday, Friday and Sundays, 8 o'clock NEA meetings. There's Zoom meetings, you know, get there. But I see these faces on Zoom.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now you're going there.
Yeah.
That is.
It's amazing. Because
these people are from, like, you know, if you do Zoom, you see people from all over. So my homie right here jumps in his van or whatever he's getting into to get to where he needs to.
Yeah.
He goes to Dallas, Mississippi. He's going somewhere next week. I think it's just, it's a blessing, man.
Yeah.
That's your higher power working in your life.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, so moving here, it says, you should meet life with a yes, an affirmative attitude. There is good in the world, and we can follow that good. There is power available to us to do the right thing. Therefore, we will accept that power. There are miracles of change in people's lives. Therefore, we accept those miracles as evidence of God's power. Amen. What's interesting, when we were with Jared, Jared said, When he was in one of his treatments, because he went to multiples, and he said that they had him watch that movie with Jim Carrey, The Yes Man. Have you seen this movie?
Yeah.
You remember
Step
this?
Step back from that ledge, my friend.
He has some spell or what happens to him?
Oh, where he can't lie? Are you talking about that?
No,
he can't say no.
He can't say no.
Oh, yeah,
They put this. They put him in this trance or whatever, he literally cannot say no. So he has to say yes to anything that anybody does.
Right. Yeah, and so in treatment, I guess they have him watch this movie. But some of that, too, is catastrophic thinking for a lot of us addicts and alcoholics. You know, in our lives, it's that shoe drop syndrome, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're just waiting for something bad to happen.
Mm. Yes.
You know? And I was talking to a counselor about that. She said, Christian, the other shoe's dropped already. You know, this is after I've told her my life story.
Right, right.
She's like, your shoe has dropped.
You're not dangling.
Yeah. Both your shoes have dropped, fool.
You don't have no shoes anymore.
Boom.
Right.
You're barefooted at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think, I like how you're connecting these two, David, is that we get caught in this disillusionment when we're really just relying on ourselves, you know? And I think if it is between you and your higher power and there's and that connection, maybe in the past, right, like your experience with God as you understand it,
mm-hmm.
right, is someone has been too impulsive.
Yes.
And so now where God is leading them, where their connection to their higher power is doing with them is teaching them and learning them to be strategic in their moves.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And if that's
very true.
Right. But even in that, even in being strategic, I've been doing that and writing things out, you know?
Yeah.
And then it comes down to the moment where it's like, okay, now you gotta transfer the money or now you gotta, you know,
take a chance or
make the move,
make a decision.
Right.
Not be stuck in disillusion, right?
Right.
And, you know, talking about fear, right, and being scared to do things, mm-hmm. which I feel a lot, okay?
I'm always scared.
And one thing that you talked about before a long time ago was being grateful that you were an alcoholic, right?
Yeah.
And when you said it, it was so sincere to me that it really made me question, like, it really made me question that statement, okay? Because, you know, for the most part, I'm like, I get it. You know, he's here right now because of the bad things that he's did through alcoholism. He's picked himself up and he's went this way, right? And if it wasn't for that part of his life, he wouldn't be at this part of his life, right? Which is good, okay? It's growing. You're getting to where you want to be, right? But the problem that I had with that, and I think this is where my fear really resonates, is in my addiction, right? Not only was I destroying myself, I literally destroyed the lives of so many innocent people mm-hmm. that I love,
yep.
right? And that's fear, man. To ever put myself in the position to where they're looking at me right now for protection yeah. or guidance or friendship or all those good things that I'm trying to do now, I'm trying to push now. Mm. And when I think about, I do this thing, which is like, you know, a serious decision, you know, like my job and all that. If I do this and I can't come through for my loved ones now that for the most part has given me another chance, God has given me another chance.
Yeah.
Right? If I screw that up.
Right.
It's not, and these people that are dependent on me again.
Mm. Right.
And even though I'm not using.
Yeah.
I mess it up, man. And
right.
I'm hurting them again.
Right.
And that's big fear, man. That's real fear, bro.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That's Am I talking low?
No, no, but you're spitting real. And that's what I think what this first paragraph was getting at.
Yeah.
Have I ceased to rely on myself only? Right. Because it is a level of disillusionment to think that you or me and Andrew, the three of us here, are here by any other means of than God's grace.
Yes. Absolutely.
The ability we have to be who we are today to the people we love is because of God's grace.
Yes.
And whenever I start internalizing that this is mine, like I got to get this, they're all depending on me.
Mm-hmm.
I can really drive that thing into the ground, into a resentment.
Mm.
And that takes me back to the whole reason why I used, right? Because I thought that
wow.
I deserved it. Because I'm taking care of these people.
Right.
You know? And one thought is that God's got no grandchildren.
Right.
Right?
Okay. Explain that.
God's Tell got no that. Grandchildren.
Tell me about that.
Okay. I'll say, well, God's got no grandchildren.
All right.
Only so children.
Only children.
Yeah.
Our children are his children.
Mm.
Or its children.
Mm.
Right? So right. so my children are really my brothers and sisters.
Okay.
Right? My parents are really my brothers and sisters.
Okay.
And so if this thing that has cared for me and loved me through complete destruction and death and delusionment and just self-seeking life and has brought me out of that to this.
Right.
Who am I to think that that same thing that's working for my good isn't working
for
their
them.
Good?
Yeah, that's true. That's a and great when I perspective.
Think,
man.
And when I think
that's
I'm the one that's got to do this.
Yeah,
I think I start losing the picture.
Man, that's right? very true, man. And if you have that perspective, that whole scenario that I brought up just now
yeah.
that has all this meat and depth to it.
Yeah,
it kind of levels that all off.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Because no matter how well I'm doing, I don't really have the control, any
right.
control over anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's heavy, man. That's
yeah.
heavy.
Well, at the same time, we have to make decisions. I mean, I got to right. make, you know.
But still, when it comes down to like the welfare.
Yeah.
The, you know, are they going to survive? You know, and you take it, your head takes it that far.
Yeah.
And that's I think when you get that far out, you're out of the realm, man. You're
yeah.
you're working on the negative side of that, you know, those thoughts. You're really feeding the negative side of taking something back and making a decision. you're really, if you don't see that perspective, it's easy to say, no, I'm not doing it.
Right.
I'm not going to take the chance.
Because you're backing self-reliance.
Exactly.
And wow. I think that, like, that's why it's good for us to read these things in the morning. Mm-hmm. And it's good for us to have these conversations and record them and broadcast them.
Yes.
Because it, you know, like, we, there's a saying that's cunning, baffling, right? The disease of addiction.
But and powerful.
And powerful.
Yeah.
But so is, like, this false self. So is this ego. This delusioned self is cunning, baffling, and powerful. And if you're not in constant submission to your higher power, you can find yourself down a road going, wait a minute. Oh, I'm the asshole. And thought the whole time you were doing the doggone thing, but you've been the asshole the whole time.
But I've been doing this.
Right.
Lord, I've been doing this.
Right.
But you've probably been doing it selfishly.
You can do it. Right. So that's why it says, have I ceased to rely on myself only? Am I relying on my higher power? Because if I am, right, then there's this sense of a spirit of humility. There's a spirit of questioning, you know. And ultimately, like, before I jump in the car and go to film, you know, I do. I have conversations with those people who are involved.
Yeah.
Right? You know, my wife.
That's just consideration, bro.
Right. I'm like, hey, you know, this is what we're going to do. And what Leslie said to me when I left on Monday morning, she said, I'm proud of you. Because she'd been waiting for me to
make
start
a move.
Doing this.
Like a power move.
Living this thing out. Right? And yeah, Hernando, what's up, man? Hernando jumped on.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of people.
John Player jumped on.
I feel like I'm back in the Rule 62 show right now, man, reading all this.
Are we getting love? We getting love?
Yeah, we getting love. Beyonce said, I know my higher power connected us for a purpose. So glad I heard him and just said yes. Yes to meetings, yes to service, yes to your trip to Texas. Love you guys.
Yeah.
Love you, Bianca.
Love you, Bianca, for real.
That's my brother, Preach family. My mom said hi. Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hey, Mom.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff.
Heavy duty stuff, man.
So the meditation, the prayer for the day is,
let's listen to it.
Is, I pray that I will not be paralyzed by doubt. I pray that I may go along on the venture of faith.
That's Amen.
It's simple.
That's your belief, man. You got to believe it.
Well, and this is like, I hate to bring up the J word, you know, but I just can't help but do it, you know.
Hey, I'm the only one right here that's not a Christian.
Yeah, with the save shirt on.
Yeah. Hey. It doesn't have to be
Jesus. We'll talk
Jesus.
About
it. It doesn't
talk
have
about
to be Jesus to save me.
We'll deliver you in the moment.
I could have been saved by many different things. Firefighters can save people. I could save another person. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Right, right.
Save me.
Subjective,
has a,
man. Subjective word, man.
So, but this is what I love. And you know, look, he says, follow me.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
It's and when he said those words, like, he's literally going somewhere. So this ain't gonna be comfortable. This ain't gonna be safe. Foxes have holes and hens have dens or whatever it is,
yeah.
Right? Like, we're going somewhere. And that's continually moving. You know what I'm saying?
Put a big smile on my face, man. Like, it's like all confirmation. I mean, that scripture that you're when follow me is exactly what
get a smile
I'm having a Bible
face.
Study with my daughter about right now, my 4-year-old. She'll tell you all about it.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah. Olive's lessons of the day. Tune in.
Yeah.
I love her lessons. I see it on Instagram all the time, man.
Oh, I love her lessons.
She tells it how it is.
Yeah. Man. But I love that it's follow me. It's not believe in me. It's not tell people about me. It's follow me. Like, you're going to need to get up and do something. And that, to me, just resonates true with this, at the whole conversation that we have in here. You know, and I think all three of us have and are living our lives in that way, right?
Yes.
You know? I mean,
action steps.
Yeah, I mean, Andrew's the only one who technically gets paid at Most High.
Right.
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 Technically.
Technically.
You know, I mean, we got lights on, so. but he's stepping in faith, right?
Yeah, man.
Right, like he's putting his faith in what we're doing. He believes in what we're doing, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It's because it's not like he's cashing, you know, big checks.
I'm not a millionaire.
No. And so this concept of follow me, you know, I see that in you, right? Like you're going, all right, I'm in this recovery thing. You're about to graduate. You just hit the year mark, and you're doing the next right thing.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know the work that we're doing here is being of greater service. And that's putting your faith where your feet are. And I think that too much times our faith is here and our faith need to be right there with the toes. Mm. Right?
Like, yes.
And get to moving.
Yes, and that's, you know, and that's something that I know I can get better at every day. You know, where you're at is just where you're at. You might be very accomplished. You might be in some serious service. You might be doing these things, but you can always do more, man. Yeah. You know, yeah. It's, you know, your feet got to meet your intentions, man.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, at the end of the day, nothing really matters besides where we're at right now.
Yeah.
Tomorrow doesn't matter. Yesterday already happened.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's not promised. Yesterday already happened. All we have is right now.
It's a present.
You know? And...
Yeah.
For me, like I do believe in what we're doing here, you know, and I want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I love doing it.
And you're killing it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job, man. You're killing it, brother.
So it really is like, to me, it's just kind of, it's more about helping other people. You know, I've said it time and 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 time again. And I will say it almost every day, probably, that I'm literally living out my childhood dream.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
As a kid, I just wanted to help people. I would see homeless people. I made a spoken word about it. Look it up. It's called Living Out My Childhood Dream.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, awesome. It's literally, you know, as a kid, I saw homeless people who may or may not have been drug addicts. It didn't really matter.
Right.
You know, it still doesn't really matter to me. But I wanted to help people. I wanted to help those people. I wanted to help people that were struggling. I wanted to help people that were doing well. I just wanted to help people, you know. Now being, and that's where the gratitude part came into place,
right?
Came into play when we were talking about it, was that the reason why I'm grateful that I'm an alcoholic is because every day I get to help people now.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I literally get to do that every single day, and working here is
what a
just
payoff.
Another way for me to do it.
Yeah, that's a payoff. That's, you know? That's a millionaire to me.
Yeah.
What did Bob Marley say? Mm. Oh, I can't remember
what he said.
One thing about music, when it hits, you feel no pain.
No, he said.
Two little birds.
Everything's going to be all right.
Something about, you judge one man's wealth on his money?
Yeah, right.
And that's it.
Like, that's today the standard in which I, when I look at my life and my days, I'm judging it by a different standard now than I did. You know, 10 years ago, it would have been, you know, money, power, fame.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it's conversations like this. It's hopes that when we record these things and when we put these clips out, that it's gonna make a difference for somebody, and that in that I'll get to participate in the grace of God in someone else's life.
Being a real friend.
Yeah.
Being a real brother. Yeah. Real.
Yeah, real. You see,
that's big. Authentic. Being sincere. That's a payoff to be able to do that in your life. Because, man, people live, man, these
masks, yeah.
These facades, man. Mm. And they might be successful, monetary, you know, something in their pockets and all that. But if you have the ability or the know-how or the faith to be authentically you, and that leads you to being helpful to somebody that needs it, And that becomes your mission. That's because, you know, that's your service. And the steps lead straight to that, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. Right? Yeah.
And my faith leads right to that. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing. And if you can do that from an a real authentic place, man, then you won, man. Or you're winning. How about let's just say that? You're winning.
Taking that dub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fade up.
You know, I could do these things, right?
Sorry. Let that ride a little bit.
Oh, it must be about that time.
Uh-huh. Kick a little freestyle, Christian. Let him hear it.
Okay.
I don't have a freestyle, but I do have this.
Tell me about it, brother. Tell me all about it.
If you or someone you love is suffering from the affliction of addiction,
yes,
message us.
Please
contact us.
If we can't directly help you,
right,
we know someone who can. And whatever obstacle is in your way, money, you're too far away,
right,
you can't consider what your life would be like without a drug,
right,
you don't got to solve all that. All you got to do is message us. That's it.
Absolutely. And not to like plug anything, but that's actually my job. My job at Coming Home Ministry is to find help for those who need help.
Yeah. Right?
If you're a suffering addict, man, call 404-821-8434. I don't know if we can put that out on here. Or we can like tag it later or something.
Andrew's
like that.
Andrew's already got the visual, the numbers.
Yeah.
Marley's in the screen.
Like, all right, this is
going to
go here.
So call Most High. Get a hold of Coming Home Ministries. Pathlight Counseling. I will try my best to help you in any way I can. It's not about money. If you need help, please call us, message us, get the word out, and we'll try our best to get to you, brother and sisters.
I will plug something, though. If you have not downloaded the Most High Media app, go ahead and download that now.
Yeah.
It is available everywhere.
Available.
I feel like I need to talk like this when I'm riding with the music.
It's available.
So download the Most High Media.
It's available.
App.
Where's it available?
It's available on Roku.
Ooh.
Roku.
It's available on the Apple Play, on the Apple Store.
Apple Store.
That's all that.
It's about available on the Play Store.
On the Play Store.
Where else is it available?
On the Google, on the Play.
Hey.
On the
Spotify.
On the Spotify. On the Spotify. You can listen to this on the Spotify.
Hey.
Huh? What?
Yeah.
iTunes Podcast.
That's right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here with us.
Man, this has been great, man. Thank you for being a great topic to the floor, brother.
Yeah. Thanks for coming out here, man.
You know
it. And thank you to Olive and the rest of your crew for lending us your dear loved one here tonight. Love. Peace and blessings.
Y'all have a great night.